It is 5:24:18. It is 9:03 in the evening. This is Thursday night. This is the discussion call where you can express your views on any topic of your choice. NLA does not teach any topics here. This is an open forum. And the views expressed by the speakers here may or may not necessarily represent the views of the National Liberty Alliance. So since it's an open forum, anyone that would like to open it up, please go right ahead. One thing I would like to bring up as a note, the Natural Healing Group was very interesting tonight. It was on lead poisoning. I would suggest that you go back and listen to the file, listen to the recording at some time if you have a moment. And I would also like to say that we have an opening on June 21st for anyone who would like to speak on a topic on natural healing. And then from July 12th on, we have openings. So if anyone knows anyone or you yourself are informed on natural healing and would like to be a speaker for 40 to 50 minutes on a Thursday night at 8, send me an email. That's jan@nationallibertyalliance.org. Looks like we might have a short meeting tonight. Must be because Veronica's not here. Where's Veronica? Oh, she's here.
Are you wanting me to say something, Jan?
Well, no, not unless you feel pressed, you know, like you'd like to, you have something you'd really like to come out with.
Well, you know, I guess my question would be, is what are the anticipations or the expectations of the people on the call? What do they want to know about? What is going on in their localities that they would like, you know, to discuss with people of like mind?
We have people from California to the East Coast on. Let your wishes be known.
And I'm sure, you know, there are issues within communities that this is open discussion. It'd be a good place to discuss.
Everything is great.
Everything works really well when expectations meet reality.
Yeah.
And if it's a discussion, let's discuss.
This must be part of the nonverbal generation we're witnessing tonight.
Well, here in Pennsylvania, what I have been going through is the Municipal Authorities Act. And do you know that, you know, one of the, there is a severability clauses in there. There's two severability clauses in the Municipal Authorities Act. And the Municipal Authorities Act actually governs the PUC to an extent. And if a municipality is collecting federal funds, they are bound by their setup, apparently. And here in Pennsylvania, you know, as far as the rules go, they have to, they seem to be federal rules, federally legislated rules that they have to adhere to, even in the small communities that have municipal authorities. Are you aware of all that?
You're talking about the public utilities?
Public utilities come under the Municipal Authorities Act.
Because, you know, the one that they're using to hang people with their digital radiating
smart meters
that aren't very smart, that's a state law they're using to do that.
And that's the Municipalities Authority of 1945.
Well, the law they're using was passed much more recently, but...
Yes, it's changed.
Mm-hmm. The one
Go ahead.
I was going to bring up something else, so go ahead and finish your thoughts on that.
Oh, well, I was just, you know, what also the municipal authorities have is they have the power to bond, you know, to pass municipal bonds and, how can I say it, revenue bonds, all right? And the revenue bonds are to pay for services that need to be done. And what they do is they take our property and they go ahead and they use our property as collateral. And then they have us pay taxes, and all the bonds, how the bonds are processed is they go through a bank, the bank bundles them and then passes them through the Federal Reserve for the printing of the notes for pennies on the dollar. So where is all of this interest going if it's not going back into the communities and the people are still being taxed? And so this is something, you know, the rabbit hole that I've been following, because in 1937 there was an article in the local newspaper here, and it actually said how revenue bonds were monetized, and the bonds don't go away. They're good for 30, 40 years, and they can collect interest. The bonding authority can collect interest over that period of time, and obviously it's not going back in the communities if people are, you know, being taxed for, you know, their homes are being taxed and their properties are being taxed. So there is skullduggery afoot, and you know, that's, anyway, I'm still traveling the rabbit hole. I haven't found all the ins and outs, but there are other people, you know, working on it, and I found out that they're in Florida and, you know, other places in the country that are finding, you know, pretty much the same thing with the severance, you know, if they can be proven to be unconstitutional, which they are, because in 1945 we still had silver in the coin. We haven't had silver in the coin since 1965. So those who are passing these laws, you know, to for bonds and things like that since 1965, as well as courts that have been adjudicating them, they are not even getting paid with constitutional coins. So totally it's, you know, out of the realm of constitutionality as it applies to the Pennsylvania Constitution. So it's very interesting, and I'll keep you posted. Anyway, I yield. Go ahead. What's your thoughts?
You have to realize that a government, once they get a good tax going, never wants to let it go. The case in point, the Spanish-American War, what, 18-something or other, 90s maybe? They had a tax to pay for that, and it came out of your telephone bill. And would you believe, finally, I don't know, 5 to 10 years ago, they finally took it off. So it lasted more than a century and something. And it got buried so deeply, nobody ever even knew it was there. You know, I don't know how many times we paid for that war, but it's got to be 100 or 1,000 probably.
Well, there, and the thing is the War Powers Act, you know, the war on drugs, you know, war on poverty, so it's all plays on words.
Yep.
Anyway, go ahead with your thoughts, and I'm going to go ahead and mute out.
Yeah, just another one, a little trivia like that. I lived up in New England for a while, and they had a double, was a single bridge originally over the Thames River in New London, Connecticut. Dime to go either way. I don't know how many times they paid for that before they finally forced them to take the toll off. It must have been 3 or 4 times. It's a good tax. You don't want to lose it. Anyway, my question for you, Nikki, is, I either read or you mentioned or somebody mentioned recently that they had brought up the issue of the sheriffs not being able to make arrests or some such. They had stripped their authority mucho years back, and they tried it about 3 to 5 years ago, I think, to get some of it reinstated, and they brought the issue up again this year. Have they gone any further with that?
I have not been following it, and yes, I do recall that, yeah, they did that. But You know, the thing is that since that article came out, or that resolution, or whatever it was that that I sent out, since that happened, there was a group of us, and what we realized is that the definition for states is actually nobility when the U.S. Constitution was written. And, of course, you know, the sheriffs as well as the esquires, they are all protectors of the landlords and stuff like that, you know, in the feudal system. So I don't know where all this is going, but, you know, word is getting out there that it's been fraud since the get-go. And I don't know, you know, Jan, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut for now, but I went ahead and I showed that to our local sheriff, you know, that about the definition of states and meaning nobility, and he said, well, that's why we have solicitors. And I said, and your solicitors are esquires, aren't they? And he just looked, he put his head down, and he walked away from me. He took my sheet of paper and walked away. But you know what I did after that is I went ahead and I ran off a few copies of what I handed him, and I picked up a book while I was in the sheriff's office. I picked up a book about Pennsylvania sheriffs, and in there was the address to write to them. So what I did is I went ahead and I put a couple of these in the envelope, and I sent it to the sheriff's, you know, headquarters in, I think, Harrisburg it was. Yeah, so they know that people, you know, are getting wise to what's happened. And they have a heck of a lot. I put my hand on her shoulder and I says, you know, I says, you have a lot more power than you think you have.
Yeah.
And, anyway.
Maybe it's like the judges. I used to think they were just ignorant. But now I don't believe that anymore. I think they're just corrupt.
Yeah, you know, and it being that my background is in counseling, and I see this as addiction. I see the problem as an addiction to money. They want to get paid. So they're either dependent on it or they are codependent on the money that's coming in and the Federal Reserve notes. You know, they have been the creditors, and people don't realize they have been the creditors for the Federal Reserve since silver was taken out of the coin for those notes. We have to realize who we are in the scheme of things, that they are the debtors to us.
There's a challenge for you, Nikki. Create a sheriff's group. Straighten them out.
That's Neva's job.
that would be a real job, believe me.
That one I'll leave to our friend up north.
Yep.
Okay.
You mean Santa Claus?
No, the one with the nice layout up there.
Okay.
That has parties a couple of years ago. Our friend in Bradford.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll let you go ahead and talk.
Not me. This is open discussion. Very nonverbal group tonight.
Hi, everyone. This is Grace.
Hi, Grace.
Hi. We just moved, Winthrop and I, from Charleston, South Carolina to Tennessee. We took a long way home, but we're here. And it's strange that you were talking about the utilities and the police and the sheriff. Sometimes I've noticed that in a lot of counties and a lot of states and cities, they don't know the difference between the police and the sheriff, because there in Charleston, South Carolina, they actually merged. And the sheriff are getting paid a lot of money from the government.
Hmm. Yeah, that's basically a problem because they get that money from the government,
billions.
And then the government tells them what to do.
So they're accepting federal funds. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they are.
That's pretty standard, I guess.
So that puts them in a different jurisdiction, totally.
Here in Tennessee, we had 3 days here, and we just got Wi-Fi today. But here, the utilities wanted to twist our arms and say that the light bill and the water bill go together. And we said we didn't want the water bill. And they said that we had to. And I said, no, we don't. Because now you're sounding communist, telling us that, you know, you're going to strong arm us, tell us that we have to get water, the city water. So I spoke to one of the supervisors and I let him know. I said, listen, I just moved here and I don't want you to tell me that this place is communist. And she said, oh, no, dear. I said, yes, because our Constitution is hanging by a thread. So she fixed it, and she said, okay, you don't have to have the water. But it was really strange that I never heard of such a thing in any state that I've been to.
They just wanted to make sure you got your daily dose of fluoride.
Yeah, you know? Is it a smart meter that is controlling both of them? Is it one smart meter?
Yes, they have the smart meters, too.
So, that's probably why. They probably combined it somehow, huh?
But I have solutions. As soon as I get settled, I'm going to check out the date, and I would like to do one of the wellness health meetings as well, too. I have solutions for all this.
Cool.
Oh, well, not all of it, but, you know, a lot.
There's always something to learn.
Yes, there is. I love to learn. I thank you, but I just wanted to let you guys know that a lot of times that we listen to the meetings, we're like standing on our heads and juggling like a million and three things at the same time. So, but we are listening.
Good. What is it Mark Twain said? It's not what we know is the problem, but it's what we think we know is the problem that's not true.
The more I live, the more I know I don't know. So much.
Who was talking about the sheriff?
That was me, Robert, and Nikki.
Okay.
Jan. Yep.
All sheriffs in the United States are on the take, period.
Yes, they are.
They're addicted to money.
Yeah. Here in Michigan are working with a group of people. I'm going to leave it at that. Our task is this. We are going to write a letter to a prosecutor in common law form as to why he commits treason every time he goes to office. And this should get interesting. There's about, 15 in our group. And we all are products of the common law and the Constitution. And we have been turned down on a debate with Hillsdale College, and they have a free Constitution course. And we submitted questions to them, and they would not answer them. So I think we have a pretty good group that knows what common law is and what the sheriff's duties is and what the judge and the prosecuting attorney or state attorney general, it don't matter what their duties are. So this should be interesting. Just thought I'd let you guys know.
Yeah, Yeah, with that, the question that comes to my mind, and I didn't ask the sheriff, you know, here this question, but I wonder how he would answer if you said to him, he took an oath, right? He took an oath to obey the Michigan, you know, Constitution as well as the U.S. Constitution, correct?
Yes, all elected officials.
Supposedly.
Take an oath.
Yes. Okay, so if he did that, you can just, you know, go to him and ask him, are you aware that you're accepting a tender of payment for your services in a coinage that is contrary, is foreign to that, that's in Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution? Who are you working for?
Well,
you know?
They call
I know what you're saying, mm-hmm. And to that I say this. We are also instructing several sheriffs, teaching them the Constitution.
You know, the thing is that when they realize how they're breaking the Constitution and impairing the obligation of contracts by some of the things that they do, you know, forcing you to do this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, their contract with you is that you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, right? And so it's...
yes.
And land matters and stuff like that, you know, it's, I'm sorry, I'm just kind of going
okay.
off the top of my head here, okay,
fine.
I'm going to mute out.
That's fine. These sheriffs understand, and one of them in particular reached out to a group over a year ago. And so someday there will be a move made, and it will be coming back into common law, believe me.
You're fading in and out, Robert.
Okay. This should be a little better. But the point being this. Quite a few sheriffs out there that know the difference between right and wrong. But because what I say, yes.
No, can't hear you right now, Robert.
But they are forced into it because realize that the United States now is corporate, and that is the only way with treaties in the past that have been signed can be observed and where your bar can usurp authority of American jurisprudence through an illegal act of a union ran and conducted by the Queen of England. So just think about that for a while. And most of these sheriffs, I won't say most, I shouldn't say that I am acquainted with, it's about a toss-up of 75% are statutory sheriffs, and 25% that I am acquainted with are common law or American jurisprudence. Okay?
But the issue, you know, still is that there is no statute of limitation on fraud. And with the preamble of that Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, which by then states was defined in the dictionaries as nobility. So mm-hmm. when that is read, it's we the people, someone's private trust, of the united nobility of America in order to form a more perfect union for ourselves and our posterity do hereby, you know, ordain this constitution for the united nobility of America. And today we have the global elite. Elite is just another word for nobility. And these are all the nobles that colonized in different parts of the world, you know, that that is their state, just like the state of Israel. It's the Rothschild and was it Balfour and
the Morgans, the J.P. Stevens, the DuPonts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
nobility.
Let me mention
nobility
this.
Is only one definition of the word state. You need to look
state.
At the other.
No, no, it's in 1755 there was only one. There was a whole lot of definitions for a state with a small letter S, and then in 1785 in the Johnson's Dictionary of the English Language, it has states, a separate definition for states, capital S, small letter T, A T E S, only one definition. And it was nobility. And then in 1828 Webster's, you'll find there's only one definition for states, and that is nobility. And in Johnson's 1830 dictionary, states is nobility. State, the word state remained the same throughout. The state is a republic. It is the people in their constitutional state, in their state of being. It is a whole total definition or difference as far as the small letter S in the old pen documents. Need to go back to the pen documents to actually see the difference between those, the words that were penned and how they were penned, and then transcribed with font.
That's all fine and good, but let me interject this.
Sure.
Uh-huh. We've been sold out by foreign ambassadors. We've been sold out by our Congress. Point being this, the Paris Accord and Treaty, the Jay Treaty, the Smith Act 1940, the FARA 38, the upper statutes 42, 44. There's about five others that I can't recall right off the top of my head. Good old Benny Franklin, he really liked France, but I think he liked the women better than the United States. And he had himself a ball over there for quite a few years.
Rounder.
And he had his share in putting us down the creek. Don't kid yourself.
Yes, he
did. There is a lot of this stuff, and you talk about the World Order, the World Bank, the Rothschilds, the Morgans, the DuPonts, the Stevens. They meet once a year over in Switzerland at Stonebridge. It is called the Stonebridge Group. So, yes, and we need to get our country back, and the only way you're going to get it back is through the sheriffs, and that's the goal that myself and a small group of us are working on. And believe me, we are making progress. And that's all I can say about it at this time.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay. Veronica?
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. I'm in my 1828, and I look at state. And the first...
look at states. S-T-A-T-E-S. S-T-A-T-E-S.
I don't see it here.
Keep
Let
looking.
Me look. I'll look a little further.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Pardon me. This is Ginger from last week, and I was I just popped out of I'm having a neighborhood watch meeting, so I'm just going to be brief. First of all, addressing what Robert said about Hillsdale, I went through all the Hillsdale courses or whatever, and then contacted Larry Arnn, the president, because he was teaching inalienable rights in his 101 course, and he didn't correct it. And now, also in his 101 course, he still says that in his redress to Criff. he speaks of inalienable, or Chris speaks of inalienable rights, and President Arnn does not correct him. So the word in the Constitution is unalienable. That cannot be changed, so neither here nor there. I have to get back. What I had asked last week was for folks to please address how we're going to come to solutions, and one of the biggie things I heard was getting the youth involved. So here's my suggestion, and hopefully this is being recorded so I can come back and listen to what the answers are. The youth, we need to get hope to the youth. My thinking is the states repossess their property, freely homestead it, like the 1873 Timber Act, that freely homesteaded 160 acres, but that was the federal government, so we need to get rid of them and get the property back into the hands, 1,000 acres. How about 1,000 acres, Nikki? And golly, Ned's, cut a log, slice a plank, write up the invoice, plant your little sapling, and come around next year, and guess what? And we're all rolling in the dough. So they need hope. Just the simplicity of the young people, not have to study all this, God bless all this old stuff. It's obsolete right now. And I'm a business broker. Obsolescence is part of your EBITDA. Whatever. Anyway, so we're not operating under our original constitution. We're in the corporation business. And we need to get rid of it. But, and just repealing the Act of 1871 will make that happen. Boom. It's done. But anyway, I need to get back to my meeting. So I do want you guys to discuss if, I don't know if Crystal's there, whosoever introduced that last week about getting the young people involved. We've got to give them hope. We've got to get them and then mentor them. Get the land property back to them. Mentor them as to how to be wonderful entrepreneurs. Everybody's making money, producing. We don't need anybody else. We've got in this country, we've got every resource, every piece of land to produce. So anyway, I thank you for letting me to interject here. I've got to get back to my meeting, and I'm looking forward to hearing what the solutions are to getting our youth involved, getting them back to power. You know, we got to take our power back. And it's speaking to the sheriffs. You've got to have numbers. You got to recall them. Just simply recall the sheriffs. If they are not oath keepers, recall them. But you've got to have the numbers. You got to get a group. You got to get enough people that are going to put out the recall, period. Anyway, my darlings, all right, listen, I look forward. Thank you for listening. I look forward to the recording where I can hear what everybody's ideas are. Okay?
Okay. All right. Veronica?
Yes, I went ahead and...
No, now hold on.
Okay.
I listened to you. Now, I look up, and states is an exception. And that use of states as mobility is from Shakespeare. And clearly, that was almost 200 years before our Constitution was created. He was using it to clarify that when you see states in Shakespeare, he's talking about the English nobility. State has a definition here in the 1828 dictionary. And the one is a political body or body politic, the whole body of people united under one government, whatever may be the form of the government. That is the definition that's being used in the context of the Constitution, not nobility. I yield.
Well, to whomever.
Well,
I don't know who the other lady was that spoke. This is Robert.
Jan?
But,
Jan, did you knock me off?
Not me.
Oh, hey, Terry, if you're still, I don't know what happened, but I was talking to myself here. The 1828 does not have Shakespeare written on it anywhere. Okay, and
excuse me, it does. Excuse me.
Then
it
not
says
on
S-H-A-K. What does that mean? On the right hand side. I've been trying to look it up, but I haven't found it yet. I'm still looking.
Okay,
S-H-A-K. What is that?
The Webster's. Okay, let me do a reality check here because
okay.
You know the words. Were,
I'm fine with that. I could have it wrong.
Right. The words that are used, are in the dictionary. If you look at any of the dictionaries, those older dictionaries.
Oh, they've got a wonderful description of the English language. I love them very much.
Right. But what they do is they put where those words came from. And some of them, you know, have a lot of them have other people's names written by them. But
okay.
This dictionary that I'm using for Webster's Dictionary 1828.com.
That's what I'm having.
Okay.
That's
and
what I have in front of me.
In the dictionary search, I put states, and it says states, noun, plural, nobility.
Yes, under states, but it has another reference there of S-H-A-K. I took that to be Shakespeare. If it's
where are you looking on the page? Where are you looking on the page? Because what I'm looking
under
at...
Under states, noun, plural, nobility, S-H-A-K on the right-hand side. It looks like it's a...
That's
it
not
looks
online.
Like it's an originating language.
That's not online. And, you know,
well,
they...
Do you have the physical book in front of you, or do you have something else?
No, I have the online version is what I'm looking at.
I'm looking at the physical version.
Oh, you're looking at the physical version. Okay. Now, I have another one on the eSword program. Let me see if that says anything on there.
As soon as I can find out what Shack means, I'll... I thought it
was
Shakespeare.
Oh, I'm sure it means Shakespeare because it, you know, it says Shakespeare actually in the Johnson's Dictionary.
Well,
but
in that
word,
case, then the word states...
Well, that
was,
means a lot of them are
used
wrong.
As mobility... As mm-hmm. nobility, excuse me, my tongue got tangled.
You got your tongue over your eye teeth and can't see what you're saying, huh?
Yes. And that means that it was put in there as an annotation so that people, when they read Shakespeare, would look up states and see what they were talking about. Our founding fathers were using the plural of state, which is clearly used in the Constitution. And... okay.
But
go ahead.
It's definitely used in the Articles of Confederation. And the 1755, I sent you the link for that, the 1755 version, and it does not have states in it at all.
Well, state is a noun. You're allowed to add an S in English. To pluralize
oh,
a noun.
Oh, I hear
noun,
you.
Singular
I hear
noun.
You. I'm not, that's,
so there's
that's
no reason to
here.
Consider it's anything other than that. What he was doing was he was annotating to indicate that when you see in Shakespeare it says states, he really means nobility. And I think that's an outmoded term by even this time in 1828, which is 200 years before. Shakespeare was 200 years before. This is 200 years later. It's like us trying to discern the meaning of every word. 1828 is pretty close. I understand there's other volumes out there, but when Webster did a pretty good job on the 1828 version, so I'm going to go with that. And I'm still not sure where it tells us that S.H.A. Key is Shakespeare, but I appreciate you accepting that point.
And Terry, you know, let's talk a minute about Shakespeare here, okay? What did he say? He says, all the world is the stage, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, you know, the thing is that if it the word states was not in the 1755 dictionary, Johnson's dictionary, 1755, the states, separate meaning for states, was not in that dictionary. But yet, in 1785, 2 years before the U.S. Constitution was written, all of a sudden states shows up. Regardless of who it is that used the word for the first time. But
what that tells
the world
me is
a stage. These people were well educated in the classics.
That what that tells me is that by this time, many years after Shakespeare, they're reading it and they're finding that it doesn't mean the same thing as what I'm looking at here. And they had to explicitly say states, and it doesn't capitalize or uncapitalize. It's all in the same font, on a capital font in the 1828 version. He's making a note to tell most people, hey, if you see states and it's from Shakespeare, it means mobility. That's what he's trying to tell everyone.
Right.
But to think that our founding fathers used the word states to mean nobility is ludicrous.
Oh, you know, in a way, you know, Terry, I would agree with you if they were all on the same page. But that first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence indicates something different, because it says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people, and the primary purpose was to dissolve the political bands which connected them with another, and number two is to assume amongst the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. So there were two factions there. One of them probably wanted to hang on to the political, you know, elements, because otherwise there wouldn't have been any reconstruction after the Civil War. But
we got
the other part, the
ahead.
Other part wanted to, you know, hold on to the republic, the true form with the small letter state, where everyone is the same, each to the constitutional abilities, you know, what they're constituted.
And so you're using a phrase out of the Declaration of Independence to justify how they used it in the Constitution. The word state. I'm not looking at it. Let me open it up. I'm going. To assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them a decent respect. Did I pass it? Let's see.
The primary purpose was to dissolve the political bands which connected them with another. It was the Whigs and the Tories back then.
Yes, and there were about 30% or a third that wanted to stay with Great Britain. There was about a third that wanted
to create
a new place. And there were about a third that were, I don't know, I'll let somebody else figure out who knows more than I do.
But they all agreed that we will declare the causes which impel us to the separation. That's the third part of that first paragraph. They identify the problems as well as give the solutions in that first paragraph. It's a beautiful way that they came together of one accord.
Oh, absolutely. But what's that got to do with the preamble to the Constitution?
Well, what it has to do is that the first Constitution was the Articles of Confederation. They went into recess. They went into recess when the 1787 Constitution was drafted. So when the 1787 Constitution was drafted, they went ahead and they put in all of these things, you know, that sounds good, you know, but they put little things in there like here in Pennsylvania, okay, in 1782, there was an act passed to prevent the erection of any new state within the Commonwealth, okay, but yet, and they would hang someone for treason. I don't know if they hung them, but, you know, if they suggested that they do that, to erect a new state within the Commonwealth. However, that was 1782. By 1787, they found a way. There was a group of people. They called, oh, by the way, in that act here in Pennsylvania, and I'll send you a copy of it, in that act in Pennsylvania, what they call these people are ill-disposed persons. Ill-disposed persons is what they call them. So they even, you know, had a name for them. But what happened, though, is that when that U.S. Constitution with the capital S, this nobility, okay, you might say, okay, when that was drafted, it had Article 4, Section 3 in there. Article 4, Section 3 says that, and I don't have the Constitution in front of me, but no new state can be, you know, erected within a state, but then unless, or, you know, without, it says without the consent of Congress. And what is the first thing they did after Reconstruction? Why would we have to reconstruct a nation that was conceived in liberty? But what they did is they brought in the political bands again. Today we have the Democrats and the Republicans, and we have no other choice.
I disagree, because Article 4, Section 3 says new states may be, and it's capital states, yeah, new
mm-hmm.
states. They're talking about states outside of the Union. New states may be admitted by the Congress into the Union, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state. Now, that's what they were saying.
Without? Doesn't it go on to say something?
Okay. Shall be formed or erected within jurisdiction of any other state, nor any state be formed by the junction of two or more states or parts of states without the consent of the legislatures
without
of the states concerned, as well as of the Congress.
And
now, see,
who composes?
State means the same thing throughout
who
all
composes,
of that.
Terry, who composes the legislatures of the states and Congress? Who composes it?
They're representatives.
And the representatives
every state had to have a constitution similar to the United States.
Which political bands compose the legislature and the states, or the Congress?
Which political bands?
Yes, political bands. In other words, political
define
parties.
Define political bands. What?
Political parties. It was the Whigs and the Tories back then. What is it now?
Okay.
Okay,
and Washington and Jefferson and several others said, don't do that. Don't join those parties. And look where
but
it got.
Then again, what did they do? Reconstruction. They were already dead by Reconstruction time, weren't they?
Who was dead?
Jefferson, Washington. Reconstruction
was
in the 1860s, yeah.
Yes. I don't understand your point.
Well, I'm not arguing my point. I'm just clarifying what it is that I'm saying.
I here in Section 3, you reference Article 4, Section 3. I see state or states used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. In every case, they're talking about a jurisdictional area of what we consider to be a state now, either a new state or a state that exists. And they're saying you can't break a state into more than one unless the legislature of the state approves, and you have to get the approval of Congress too. That's so that you don't go making a bunch of states and then start controlling, because now you have majority because you took off the power of the state. The states had power And that's one of the things we're missing today is the power of the states because of the, what was it, 17th Amendment to elect senators by popular vote. That's really where it really started to go downhill. And
well,
we
actually
don't have that power.
It started going downhill with the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
But it was on a very much inclined plane. higher plane.
And the thing is, Terry, is that, you know, as far as Article 4, Section 3, a state within a state, that could mean, you know, were you on earlier when we were talking about the municipal authorities?
I had some things I had to get done.
Oh, okay. We were talking about
the first part.
Yeah, we were talking about municipal authorities because that's the rabbit hole that I've been going down. And the municipal authorities here in Pennsylvania, if they accept federal funds, they're pretty much, you know, the federal government has created a state within the state that is beholden only to the federal government.
I agree.
Yeah, so this is the way these words are so important, you know, and even though, you know, it might say Shakespeare there, the words came from somewhere, someone was using them in a specific way, and they're still being used in that specific way. Otherwise, why would we have esquires, you know, because there's supposed to be no title of nobility. So who are these esquires protecting? They protect nobles.
Oh, I agree with that, but I don't think.
So
I see the Constitution, and it used in one paragraph, it used the word state seven times. That's what they meant by state. They didn't go over and say the states were going to be something else. States in that context of the Constitution meant several of the individual states that made up the Union. That's all it meant.
Correct. And when they were putting that together, I'm sure they didn't want to rattle the cages of the people who wanted to assume amongst the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which they were entitled. They wanted to, you know, just go ahead and segue in and, you know, just make it work for them. And then add by amendment to the 20th Amendment. They came in on a day different than any previous administration. That was the New Deal for the posterity. So, I mean, we're back under a form of corporate feudalism. And if you haven't noticed, and I'm sure you have military background,
I agree.
Too.
We're under corporate feudalism.
Yes.
I think that's very right. And, you
yeah,
know,
by
my,
the way,
the sad, yeah, go ahead.
Happy holiday.
Thank you. The sad part is that so many people are comfortable in their existence and their operation inside that corporate state. And they're willing to accept the corporate statutes, and they're willing to accept because they feel like the corporation will tell them what they need to do, and they'll do it. And they don't see that as impacting their liberties.
And Terry, if you were on earlier, you would have heard me say they're addicted. They're addicted to the
I agree. That addicted
They're
is
addicted
a good word.
The
They've
money.
Addicted. Their comfort level is inside what they've done. And now it's extending to other things. People expect when you ask them to do something, that's why some businesses are having problems. When people expect you to do something, the customer usually asks the corporation, well, what about this? And the corporation says, that's okay because, and they just take it outright.
It's all about compliance and, you know, the codependency. Yep.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's a herd mentality. But talking about states, CERN, C-E-R-N, they want to put a mini CERN in almost every state here. And that's in Switzerland. Right now it's a collider. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but that's where the internet was born from.
Okay. I think you've got some mixed metaphors between CERN, the internet, and and what they're doing with the internet.
Well, I know people in Switzerland, and
I'm sorry.
I know people.
Say that again.
I know people in Switzerland, and they're saying a lot of people are having rumors that they shut down, but they didn't shut down.
Who didn't shut down?
CERN.
Well, of course, CERN is a body. Is what
it's a hadron collider. It's a hadron collider.
Yes, it's the Super Hadron Collider. Yes.
Right.
The Large Hadron Collider, LHA, or LHC. Yes, so what?
It's in
Switzerland. There's a town in Switzerland called CERN. Okay, now what?
Well, this affects us because this is putting out frequencies that are affecting, you know, all of us. It's affecting our health, our mind, our body, and our spirit.
Might be possible. Can you prove it?
Oh, sure, I could, but I don't have everything prepared right now, but I will because sharing is caring.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
I'll be more than happy to share it. Absolutely.
Because they're on the other side of the world, and it'd be,
they're not. They're here, too.
Where?
I don't
have...
Are
there colliders here in the United States? Yes.
Yes.
Do we have a large Hadron Collider comparable to CERN? No. They started to build one in Texas, but they didn't.
Right, but they're going to build many in most of the states here.
Who said they're going to build many? I haven't heard that at all.
This is the shadow government people, the corruptors, like from the Federal Reserves.
I think you're mixing metaphors again. I'm sorry.
Well, I do speak metaphorically most of the times, and, you know, I can't help that. So, I just want, you can look into it. When I get more data, I'll go ahead and give more feedback.
And I'll be here to listen. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for your information, too.
I'm dangerous with my information.
That's great. Oh, I go deep down the rabbit hole, very deep.
Oh, you're okay, Terry. I mean, you just bring out more information and, the objectivity is what we need from everyone.
I'm very open-minded. I'd love to hear more feedback and variables. There's just so many.
Yeah, there is, and not everyone sees the same, you know, thing. When they look at something, you know, they'll focus on one aspect and not the other, and somebody else will focus on the other, and each has their position. However, we have a common interest, is to get to our common interest.
I think our common interest is to take our Constitution back.
Freedom.
Bring government back in line.
Yeah, our government back in line, not necessarily our Constitution, but, you know, the principles that have been identified in that first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, the problems and the solutions are right there. We just not met the mandates yet. But once we're going to be okay.
The Constitution did two things. It first created our government. And second, it provided the means through common law for us to control that government as we the people. And over time, they've lulled us away through that addiction and all this stuff we talked about to where we've forgotten and abrogated our duty to bring the government back in line when it gets out of line. And they've kind of made it all fuzzy so that we don't know about it anymore. And I think that that's a shame that has happened.
And the way I perceive that first paragraph is that we're not holding them accountable to the laws of nature and nature's God, which say, hey, look, you covet our property and our children, and you lie to us, you steal from us, you have your one nation under God, but you don't tell us which God. Is it Mammon, or is it, you know, the Elohim or the Yahweh of the Bible?
I agree.
What is it?
And it's,
you know,
we the people saying both of those things. The Declaration of Independence, or the Declaration of 1776, as Brent will say, and the Constitution. And it's we the people that need to bring that in line, and we've got to use common law to do it. And
absolutely,
what they've done is corporate law It comes from Babylon. It comes from the adversary. It comes from Rome and through Justinian and the canon, the civil canon through the Catholic Church. We've got to overcome that, and that means we have to take back the powers that we let our government have, which they have corrupted over time. And the way we do that is we take back the Constitution, because it was the Constitution that created our government, and it was the Constitution that left ways inside common law for us to control that government.
And
we
I'm
just
glad
have to learn how.
And I'm glad that you mentioned Babylon, because in Genesis 11:3, okay, if you go back to Genesis 11:3, especially in the King James Version, okay, you'll see that when they built Babylon, what they did is they used bricks for stone and slime they used for mortar. Now, in the New Testament, it talks about we are lively stones that are fitly joined together. Doesn't say that we're all the same. Stones are all different sizes and shapes. But what bricks are counterfeit stone, and they are held together by slime. What do we call lawyers? I love Genesis 11:3 when someone mentions Babylon. Anyway, with that, I've had my fun for tonight.
It's all up to us.
Okay. Very nice.
Well, that sounds like a good place to stop for this evening, and you can all contemplate for the whole next week on what it all meant. And come back here next week and talk about it, right?
Oh, but I already got the answer.
Oh, I'll bring the answer then and spread it around for everybody.
The answer is 42. Everybody knows that.
I know. It keeps popping up.
42? Are you talking about USC 42 or 42 USC?
No, just 42. It's from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow, I thought it was a radio code.
So,
well, let's hop on board.
Yeah. It's quite a trip. Sure you want to go?
Hey, I've been in circles before.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to shut down the rec-